This is so critically important because you're going to worship someone, something. Everybody does. But I'm telling you, people are finding any number of things to worship today. Now, the only one worthy, I'll tell you straight up, is God Almighty, the one we've been singing about, the God of this Bible this morning.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into a new series with Pastor Rogers. This is I Worship. This is part one from that series. Watch where I end up. Let's go into the message today.
You say, God, you're worthy of all the praise, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You are the source. You are the source and not Sam. Not my job. Come on now. My job is not my source. Hey, I'm going to break some hearts here. You, Pace Assembly, are not my source. God is my source. The moment I tag my paycheck to you is the moment I got to be a politician and not a preacher. I came to tell you I walked in here with nothing in my hand, and I'll go to glory with nothing but a praise on my lips. You know why? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Tell your neighbor, look where I'm going to end up. Watch where I'm going to end up. That's where you can worship beyond your knowledge. Follow me here. I'm quickly going to the close. God allows you experiences of different things, trials and troubles and difficulties. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you can experience God on a different level. Through different ways, then you can have new material to worship Him with. When David writes a psalm, it's not for a new song for his latest CD. He's writing a psalm because it is an experience that he's had with God that comes up out of his heart and not out of his head. Look at the psalm. David says, God, help me to kill the lion. And he turns around and says, great is our God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are saved. His name is a buckler. His name is high to be lifted up. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Why is he saying that? Because he's walked through some painful places. I say to you that many of the songs that are coming out called praise and worship have only been written in the backside of a studio and not from the heart of an individual who has actually lived it. That's the reason why it's dead and unanointed. Many congregations come to watch what happens on the stage, worship for them as if they're pulling up at the Sonic and ordering through their window. I came to tell you, this is not about what happens on this platform. If it becomes more of a distraction, we'll wax the whole thing and everybody can go out of the auditorium, because ladies and gentlemen, we are all worshipers. And after God has been so good to you just this past week, you ought to come in with something that's a praise, that's not waiting for the band to warm up, but you've got a praise in your heart, singing a new song to the Lord. It's a testimony. God takes us through experiences so we can have more material, new material, so we can give Him and ascribe to Him more worth. Follow this. The bigger the situation God brings you through, the more value you put on God. But it has to be an encounter where you know God. That's the only way. You don't know God when you're on the mountain. Everybody's shouting around, ooh, I'm blessed and all that. No, no. You get to know God when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you lose your job and you don't have another one in front of you. Come on, somebody. See, some of us are so blessed, we don't know what it is to have to experience anything. And whenever trouble comes to us, we pray it away as if it's the devil. But I'm persuaded to submit to you today, could it be that God is putting you in that place to let you know what kind of a bigger God He is on the backside than He was on the front side? Have you considered my servant Job? The devil said, you let me get to him and he'll curse your name. He said, you can take everything but his life. But I believe in Job so much. I hear God. I believe in joy so much. Go ahead. Beat his brains out. Go ahead. Put some cataracts on his eyes. That'll stop him from reading the Word of God. Go ahead, detach a retina inside of his eye, and that'll put him out for a little while. Maybe he'll get so discouraged that he won't go back to the pulpit. Come on, somebody. I hear a conversation between the devil and God, and sometimes I pick up on the party line. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Discourage you just enough so that you won't get up and keep on going on with God. But I came to tell you, after you've already seen your boy Caleb, who's had to be up in the hospital, and the miracle hand of God that's brought him out, and he's in children's church this morning, you ain't got to pump me up, Pastor. I got to praise for 1,000 years after what God has done for me. I don't care if the praise team and the musicians are up here or not. I got a praise on my lips before they ever bust a chord. Ask your neighbor, watch where I end up. Just tell them, watch where I end up. Yeah. Watch where I end up. Yeah. Has to be an encounter. Watch this, church. That's the reason why the older folks in this congregation will say, if you knew him like I know him, you'd praise him like I praise him. You know what they're saying? They're saying the reason that you don't believe is because you haven't been to the level of the problem that I've had to walk through. You don't know him like I know him. If you knew him like I know him, you'd praise him like I'm praising him, and maybe even a whole lot more. We don't get excited today because it's all about us, but we don't see God's intervention in what's going on. But I came to tell you, watch where I end up. You can't call God a deliverer if you've never needed any deliverance. So he's not worth it to you. So whenever we sing songs, I am. I wish they'd hurry up and sit down. Not going back, moving ahead, moving forward. Come on, have they got to sing that one every? Have they got to sing? We've heard that before. Sit down. Sorry, did I hit a chord? It don't take all of that. We could get this thing done. People come in, going out. We could get this thing done in 30 minutes if Pastor wouldn't just rattle on like that. Preach is so long. I'm going to tell you, there's some folks busting hell up right now that are saying, you know what, if I could just be back there and pass a service, I wouldn't say nothing about how long. Ooh, I can't get no help right in here now. I'm just telling you, whatever you value, you put a priority and worth on. And I just came to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the worth that I put on God is more important than my necessary food. Let me help you now. I'm going to call this church to a fasting and prayer in a few weeks from now. Look at some of y'all already locking up. Drool coming out of your mouth right now. You just, Pastor, I tell you what now, I love praying, but that fasting now, you know why? Because that flesh says, I'm going to eat. I don't care what anybody said. You just value that above the sacrifice you make to God. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Until you've been to that place, you don't even really have a song to sing. Come on, somebody. Oh, we love them all. When peace like a river attendeth my way. And we sing that, and sometimes we get a warm feeling. Everybody sit down. Oh, you know what? And I'm not against clapping your hands because that's a pattern. But we've substituted our praise. And God said, you don't give me, that's part of it. But with the mouth. Come on, you can talk about everything else. Can you talk about Jesus? And if you won't talk about him and praise him in here, you certainly won't out on the job. But if you'll bless the Lord at all times in here, then when you get out there and get in trouble, it'll be no problem to open your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the raise. It's just words, unless you've experienced the depth of that agony. Come on, church, are you still with me? Look at your neighbor and tell them, watch where I end up. Yeah. Here's the man, Horatio Spafford. He's the one who wrote that song. How did he write it? After he sent his wife and his children on the boat to go to England, he's still in the States. And the telegram comes back years ago. All is lost. The ship went down. All of his family, gone. He got on a ship to go in the same direction. And when they were out there, he told the captain, whenever we get close to the place where the ship went down, tell me, I want to be woke. I want to be awakened. When they got there, the captain came and awakened him. He stepped out on the bow of the boat. He looked down into that dark water that was rumbling. It was holding the souls of his family and thousands of others. And in the spirit of God, he said, wind, peace, like a river, attendeth my way. Can you see it? When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. He wrote those lyrics out of his own painful place. And now people sing it like words off of a page. But if you've been anywhere near that, and some of you have, you know what it means to sing a song that comes from your spirit in true worship to God and not just from your head and your mouth. You got to lose something in order to sing a song like Amazing Grace. We sung it so much, they started singing it the other day at a political rally, but people don't know what it is because they've not experienced it. But I don't know if there's anybody in this building who's experienced it. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm found. That's worship. Was blind, but now I see. That was written in the bowels of a boat by a man that was caged up on a slave ship. And the melody was written out on all of the black keys of the keyboard, representing the agony and the pain of his soul. And he knew what amazing grace was really all about. Oh, how far we've drifted away with the professionalism of the hour that's created golden calves for people to come and worship. And we go through our routine checking off our worship, and we say we're in the presence, but we've not seen the glory. Pace Assembly, I want you to know God is wanting to send a revival to this house, and let it start with people who know where you've been and know where you're going and will be willing to lift up a praise no matter where you're at in life.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.